Well, God tells us in His Word to always be prepared to give an answer, to give a reason for the hope that you have. God wants us to be prepared when we come in contact with people, to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have, this hope in Jesus. So we want to use this time this morning. Let's get more prepared for those that we'll come in contact with. As you know from last week, God tells us in Philemon verse 6, there's only one chapter, so Philemon 6, God tells us this: I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. And so it just goes to say, if we're not sharing our faith, then we don't have a full understanding of the good things we have in Christ. If we're not active in sharing our faith, then we're missing out on some kind of, I guess, a lot of good things that God has for us in Christ that we'll never see unless we're actively sharing our faith. So the Apostle Paul is praying, and we need to pray for each other that we'll be active in sharing our faith so we'll see all these things that Christ has for us. God tells us in Proverbs that he who wins souls is wise. That we need to be doing this. And as we just read a little earlier, as Jesus ascended, before he ascended to heaven, as we just read a little earlier, what he told us to be doing, the believers, the church, what the church is, the believers, you know that, not a building, it's all the believers together. What did he tell us we're to be doing? We just read it. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, in Matthew 28. And he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so he told you and he told me and he told us, church, to go and to be making disciples. Well, if you're going to make a disciple is, in our Bible study group, we've been looking at this a lot, and we threw out the question, well, what is a disciple? What's it look like? And I hate to put you out there, BB, but I loved what BB said. It's like a little Christ. It's like a little Jesus. And that's what the word Christian is, like little Christ. Well, a disciple of Christ is a little Christ. It's somebody who looks like Jesus. And that is what God is doing in every one of our lives. If you're a believer this morning, if you've heard His good news, that you're a sinner and there's nothing you can do about your sin, but He came for you and He did everything necessary, and you repent and you turn from yourself and you turn to Him and you give your life to Him, you trust Him to what He did on the cross and His death and His burial and His resurrection, you trust Him to save you and you call out to Him and He does it, then you're a believer and He comes to live in you. He indwells you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then He wants us making disciples. He wants us making disciples. But if you're there already, if you know you're a believer, God tells us in Romans chapter 8 that God is working on you and He's forming you and He's shaping you into the image of His Son. So that's God's purpose. That's your sanctification. Your salvation is when you repent and you believe and you're born again, as Jesus described it in John chapter 3 when He was talking to Nicodemus. You're born again. You're brand new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's salvation. And then from then on, God is sanctifying you. You're going through sanctification. He's working on you and He's forming you and shaping you and making you more and more to look like Jesus, into the image of His Son. And He's working on you. So that's the goal. So a disciple is somebody who looks like Jesus, who does what Jesus does, and looks more and more like Jesus every day. And so what did Jesus do? Well, He made disciples, and we're to be making disciples. And so from that great commission, how do you make a disciple? That's what Jesus said to be doing, make disciples. Well, how do you do that? Well, if somebody is going to become a disciple, first, they have to be born again. So they have to hear the good news, and then they hear, and the Holy Spirit's working, and they repent and they believe, and then they're brand new. God, the Holy Spirit comes to live in them, and then they need to get baptized. They need to be baptized. But That's the first step to becoming a disciple. If we're making disciples, that's the first thing. We have to get that message to them. We have to share. And so we have to share Jesus. So if we're disciple makers, we need to know how to share Jesus. If we're going to make disciples, that's the first thing. We got to know how to share Jesus. So we want to look at this a little bit more in depth in these next few weeks, this week and next week and the week after. We know last week we spelled share Jesus all the way down, S-H-A-R-E. And I know it was a lot. And my best critic is Allison, so I got home and, you know, what'd you think? That was a lot of information at one. And so I prayed about it, and she mentioned the idea, and I prayed about it, and I felt like this would be a great place to camp out a little while. So let's take that S, H, and A. Let's look at that a little more in depth this morning. So let's look at sharing Jesus, and let's look at the S, the H, and the A. Well, we're in John chapter 4, so turn there. John chapter 4. And we gathered all this from that woman at the well that Jesus encountered. John the Baptist had been baptizing, and then his disciples in John chapter 3 were saying, in John chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Anon near Salim, because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him.' To this, John replied, 'A man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less.'" So John the Baptist lets him know what John the Baptist, he was the one everyone was going to be baptized. But it was prophesied about him that there would be one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord." And John knew that was his purpose. He was there to prepare the way for the Lord. It was all about Jesus. He was there preparing the way. But John has all these followers, and they're all saying, "That man you were telling us about, he's over there, he's baptizing, everybody's going to him." They're getting a little jealous. But John the Baptist lets them know, "Guys, this is what it's all about. This was God's plan. This is why I'm here. I was to testify about one that was coming that is greater than I. One whose sandals I could not even touch. I couldn't even untie. That's my purpose. So thank the Lord, he is baptizing many more. Everybody's starting to go to him because he must increase and I must decrease." And so Jesus is baptizing, but it's not actually him, it's his disciples. But they only do it when he approves of it. But they were discipling. And so he shares. So in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And Jesus goes on from there talking to this woman. And eventually, as we read last week, this woman comes to him. And then she goes and tells everybody what she's found. She's found this Jesus. She's found this Messiah. She says, could he be the Messiah? And all the people that she tells end up believing once they hear Jesus and they encounter him. So, Jesus gives an incredible model here with this woman at the well of how to share him. How do we share Jesus? Well, watch him in action at the well with this woman. Learn from him how to share him, how to share Jesus. So, first of all, let's let the S represent Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. To share Jesus, you've got to be Spirit-filled. If you want it to have any impact, if you want the Holy Spirit to work and God to actually save this person and they're born again, we need to be Spirit-filled. We need to be Spirit-filled when we share Jesus. In John, turn back just a couple chapters. We're following the model of Jesus here, right? We want to share him like he did when he witnessed to this woman at the well. We want to do it like him. So look at John chapter 1. And it says this. In verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, that is John the Baptist. Next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. And then look at verse 32 through 35. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. So, Jesus was filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. And in Luke chapter 4, when you begin reading the first verse in Luke chapter 4, you find out that it says there that Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, was led out into the wilderness. So Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Well, then we sure need to be filled with the Spirit if we're going to share him with anybody. He was filled with the Spirit. So, Spirit-filled is the S. Be filled with the Spirit. Jesus told the disciples, he told all of his followers to wait for the power that would come from on high after he was resurrected. And he was given this great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, make disciples of all people. When he was giving them that commission, letting them know to do that, he didn't just say, all right, head out, do it. No, he said, you need to wait for this power from on high that's going to come. Because you can't do it. You're humans. We're all humans. You can't do the things of God. You've got to wait on his Spirit. His Spirit is powerful. And so they were to wait, as Jesus said, for this power from on high. And in Acts chapter 1, it says this in verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, this is the resurrected Christ, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Listen to verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so he tells them to wait in Jerusalem. Don't just go make disciples. You got to be empowered. wait on the power of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit and then go and make disciples. Miss Mary Frank got to hear Jim Cymbalist speak, pastor at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And one of the things she shared with our congregation that he said was, don't do anything on your own. And you can talk to her after to get it exact. But he said, make sure you're filled with the Spirit before you try to do anything in the name of the Lord or anything for the Lord. He said, don't do it. Be filled first. Be filled with the Spirit, with that power. And Ephesians 5, God tells us the same instruction. You know, it's not just sharing Jesus. It's not just discipling people that we need the Holy Spirit for. It's everything. It's to live the Christian life at all, to do anything. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. In John chapter 15, God tells us in Ephesians 5 to do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. So God commands us, if you're a believer, to be filled with the Spirit. You know what it is to be filled with anger. Well, anger's going to take control of you. You're going to start ranting and raving, and you're filled with anger. God says, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Well, what's that look like? Well, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to be looking like Jesus, acting like Jesus, making decisions like Jesus, talking like Jesus, doing what Jesus did. Be filled with the Spirit. And that's the command in Ephesians 5. And in the Greek there, it means be filled and keep on being filled. So it's not just to share Jesus. It's if you're a believer, you're to live filled with the Spirit. If you want to drive your car, you got to keep it filled up with gas. It doesn't work good without it. If you're a believer, you got to be filled with the Spirit. You're not going to be a Christian. You're not going to be what God wants you to be. So, Spirit-filled, to share Jesus and do everything else in the Christian life. Be filled with the Spirit. Spirit-filled. Next, the H is, He is with you. Remember this. He is with you. Look at verse 1 and 2 in John 4. It says, the Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but His disciples. I think Jesus knows what He's doing in this area, don't you? If you want to learn how to make disciples, He's probably the best one at it, isn't He? He's probably pretty good at it. It says that He surpassed John. You know, all the disciples are, John's disciples are getting jealous. You know, everybody's going to Him to be baptized. He knows what He's doing in this area, doesn't He? And in every area. There's another part of the Scriptures that says, and He did all things well. Talking about Jesus. He knows the best way in everything, doesn't He? He's the best at everything because He's God. He's our model. He's God in the flesh. So He is the best model at everything. So, that's pretty good news that He is with you. If you're a believer, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when you go out and you make disciples and you're trying to share Jesus, you're not alone. It's not just you trying to share Jesus. He didn't say, I'm going to stay over here. You go and share Jesus. What did He say? And I will be with you always till the end of the age. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the moment you go to share Jesus, you're not alone. You got a partner. And it's a pretty good partner. He knows what He's doing. He's pretty good at this thing. Living, not only sharing Him, but living the whole Christian life. Everything you do in life, He's pretty good at it. And He's with you. And He's in you. If you're a believer, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, the H is, He is with you. Depend on your partner. He knows what He's doing. And you know, when you get this down in your heart, it brings a great confidence. Because it brings a great confidence in trusting Him, your partner who's with you and in you. It brings you a great confidence. And there's a great peace in knowing that it's not you, it's Him. That it's not you, that you don't have to go and share Jesus. That would be really scary. And that's what, and it's sad that that's what a lot of believers think. I guess a lot of believers think, well, it's me. He's asking me to get out there and share Jesus. That's pretty scary. I'm not going to do that. But, you see, we haven't let it take root in our heart But it's not you, it's Him. He's in you. He wants to share Himself. He wants to live through you. He just needs a willing vessel to open their mouth and be willing to do whatever He says. He'll do it. And it brings such a great confidence. There's a man, one of the gas stations I go to, there's a man named Muhammad, and I've talked to him about the Lord before, a little bit before, but I was there the other day, and I didn't share with him, but I had this thought, how in the world can I share with a Muslim? But then I had this thought, it's not you, Derek, it's me. Am I pretty good at it? Could Jesus Christ share Himself with a Muslim and see that Muslim come to Christ? Yeah, He's pretty good at it. I think He could bring a Muslim to Himself. And so there's this confidence in knowing, oh, well, it's not me. If I want to share with Muhammad, Lord, it's You that's trying to say some words to him and share some things with him. John Allen was at a soccer game the other night, and I saw a table full of young girls talking. And I didn't go over there, but I had the thought, that same thought that, maybe I was being disobedient, but now that I'm thinking about it, but the thought I had was, you know what, if God was calling me to go over there and share with those girls, I don't have to be worried about it because it's not me, it's Him. It's Him. He would know what to say to them. I don't know what to say to a bunch of teenage girls sitting together talking about who knows what, but He would know what to say. I'm to depend on my partner, Him. And so He is with you. When you go, when you're sharing Jesus, remember, Spirit-filled is the S. He is with you is the H. And then the A stands for act on His plan. Act on His plan. Know His plan. Well, verse 4, it says, now He had to go through Samaria. And we talked about this last week. Geographically, He didn't have to go through Samaria. If they had done what they always do as Jews, they would have gone on the other side of the Jordan River. And because Jews do not associate with Samaritans, as it mentioned. And so if they had done what they always do, they would have gone on the other side of the Jordan River and gone up and past Samaria, so you don't have to go through it, and then get to Galilee. But it says, now He had to go through Samaria. You see, that was a mission. God was telling Him, I love the Samaritans, you need to go through Samaria. And so He had to go through Samaria. He knew the plan. He was acting on the Father's plan. The A stands for act on His plan. We need to know the plan. Well, we know ultimately, we know obviously that Jesus wants us making disciples. We've just looked at a bunch of scriptures that say that. So we know He wants us making disciples. He prayed that we'd be active in sharing our faith, so we'll know every good thing we have in Christ. So ultimately, we know the plan that I am to be making disciples. You are to be making disciples and sharing Jesus as we go. And when He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, it means as you're going, make disciples. When you go here and you're going to Disney World, like we are, praise the Lord, right after this service, we leave. I thank the Lord for my parents who got in touch with my sister and her family and us and our family and want to do this for us. But so where you go, God tells us as you are going is what the Greek means. Therefore, go and make disciples. As you are going, make disciples. So we know the ultimate plan that as you are going, everywhere you go, you're to be sharing Jesus. As you go to Disney World. So y'all pray for us as we're there that we'll be missionaries at Disney World. As you go to as you go to the hotel, as you go to the grocery store, be making disciples. As you go to Walmart, as you go to Home Depot, be making disciples. As you are going, be making disciples. So we know that is the overall plan. And you can do that with anybody at any time. Think of those three words. I mentioned it last week. Made, meeting, and making. Okay, so if I'm to be sharing Jesus with everybody, well, even if I have 3 seconds and I don't even get to talk to somebody, I can help make them a disciple. You say, how? What? You have 3 seconds. You're at a red light. You just saw them in the other car. You don't have time to talk. How can you help make them a disciple? Well, I can pray right then. God, I pray that woman right there at this light, Lord, I pray that she'd be made new, meeting together with the believers that she'll be connected to a church. I'd pray that she'd be made new, meeting together and making disciples, Lord. I already helped that woman become a disciple. I pray that she'd be made brand new, become a Christian. That she'd be meeting together, that she'd connect with some small group, some group of 12, so that she'd be connected to believers, and that she would be making disciples herself. That she'd be. And I didn't even get to talk to her. And now, if you have more time, you can get some pocket crosses and some tracts, and you have a little more time, you know, hey, look at this question. What do you think about this? You know, you can take them through that booklet. And we'll get to more of that in the next weeks. But act on his plan. So we know the general plan, but we need to know the specific plan too. So everywhere we go, we are to be making disciples. We're to be sharing Jesus. But we need the specific plan. So you know what? It's a good idea to get up early in the morning and spend some time with the Lord and find out, God, where do you want me going today? What do you want me doing today? Because that's how it gets specific. In general, everywhere we go, we're to be sharing Jesus. But the way you find out the specific plan for the day, go before the Lord and find out, God, where are you going today? What do you have for me? Where are we going? What are we doing? What's going on? And those are the places that he wants you sharing. He wants you sharing Jesus wherever you go. But you get specific by finding out, well, Lord, where do you want me today? Who do you want me spending time with? What do you want me doing today, Lord? Are we going to Disney World today, Lord? Oh, okay, so I'm supposed to be sharing Jesus at Disney World. That's a plan for today. You know, so maybe it would be better to operate like this. So go share Jesus at the grocery store, and while you're there, get some groceries. Go share Jesus at Disney, and while you're there, enjoy some rides. Go share Jesus at the hairstylist, and as you're there, get your hair cut. Maybe we should operate more like that. All right, well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your call, Lord, to go and make disciples, Lord, to share you, Jesus. Lord, we benefit so much from you. We thank you for our relationships with you. And Lord, help us to share with others, you, to tell others what we've seen and heard of you, Lord. So Lord, make us spirit-filled. We thank you. He is with you, that you're with us, that you're great at it. And Lord, help us to act on your plan, Lord, and know where you want us and what you want us doing so that we can be sharing you there. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, maybe you're like the woman at the well and you've heard his good news this morning and you realize you're not sharing him yet because you realize you're the one that needs to come to him. You need to give your life to him. If that's you this morning, when Chris leads us in this song, you've heard his good news, what he's done for you. Repent in your heart as you hear this song. You just turn and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. I need you. I give my life to you, Jesus. I want to be your follower. And when Chris leads us in this song, you stand up out of your seat and put feet to it. Obey him and come and be his follower. Maybe you need a deeper commitment to him. Maybe similar to Alex and Gina here recently. Maybe the Lord's really stirring some things in your heart and he's telling you some things. And you realize you want to rededicate your life to you, recommit your life to him. You want to say, God, there's been too much of me. I want to give it all up and I want to follow you. I want it to be all about you, Jesus. I want to give my life totally to you. Maybe that's you. You can recommit your life to him. You can come. As Chris leads us in the song, maybe you're joining this church and you've realized this is the fellowship where I belong. These are the people God wants me connecting with in his body. Then you come and join this church as Chris leads us. But whatever the Lord tells you to do, you do it.